Again, this is the fifth sermon on what at one time I thought was going to be a five-sermon series, but it's not a five-sermon series. I know there's a sixth one to come yet, so that'll be next Sunday. But we've been talking about, preaching about, looking in the Bible about Christian liberty. I've tried to set it up as easy as I can for me. I need things done simply. I need things to be laid out simply. And again, if I've got this, the verse that we've been I've been giving every time is, again, we have liberty in Christ, do we not? Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. And so, again, we give that we have Christian liberty. Now, what I've done here, and see if I can put it up here, I think I've got five areas that I have been delineating, and hence the five sermons to date. Okay, as I've looked at a different one of these every sermon. Now, again, by way of review, catch people up, and I can't catch people up 4 weeks of sermons in 5 minutes. You understand that? Not going to try. But on the platform up here, I have put five categories, and you can see that I have them there. Whether I call them the same names all the time, I think all of us know that. But again, from your left to the right, we'll start with the right. I've put all the way over here, and that's the group at the bottom, the sacramentalists. Now, whether that's a word, I'm not even sure. Okay? They're true legalists. I call them sacramentalists. These are people that believe that you have to add something to faith in order for salvation to be acquired. Okay? Oh, I believe in Jesus, but I believe you also have to do, and they'll come up with a list of things you have to do. Okay? And these are true legalists. That's what the word really means, legalist. Okay? You add to salvation. And in the Bible, we looked at the book of Galatians, where these people said, well, yes, you believe in Christ, but you've also got to be circumcised and keep the rules of Moses if you want to get to heaven. You know? And Paul in the book of Galatians very definitively tells people it's not that at all. It's by grace through faith alone. Again, as I've said this before, I don't think there's anybody in the church this morning would say, I'm in this group right here. Yeah, I know that you believe in Jesus, but then there's a lot of other things you got to do. And if you don't do them, you can't get to heaven. I don't believe there's anybody in here this morning that believes that, but there are those out there. And by the way, as I think I mentioned then, most religions outside of Christianity, that's where they are. They're all right here. Okay? It's grace, and then you better add to it. And that's where they are. So again, if we could do this, in the list of world's religions, they're all here. Only Christianity's on that side of it. Okay? Believing it's by grace alone, by faith in Jesus Christ alone. That's it. Okay? Now, again, maybe it'd be disheartened to hear a pastor say, you don't have to come to church to get to heaven. I sure like when you do. And I believe the Bible tells us we ought to, but it's not a requirement to get to heaven. Okay? Again, so you understand, I call these people sacramentalists just because the word legalist gets confusing in today's terminology. People, I mean, I've had people look at me and go, hey, you're a legalist. I'm not a legalist. I believe in Jesus Christ alone for salvation. I'm not a legalist. Well, they're confusing the word legalist with what? Another definition. And mixing it up a little bit. Again, I'm going to go all the way to the other side over here. I call it on the screen the license group. This is the group over here that kind of believes it this way. God's grace is so big that it doesn't matter how I live my life or what I want to do. I can do whatever I want and God's grace will cover it all. And we're talking about sin. These people say it doesn't matter what I do. God's got it covered. Just go ahead and live like you want. Now, maybe you've run into people like this. Maybe you're saying, well, Pastor, are you sure there's people like this in the world? What's my answer? Absolutely. Okay? This is an area, again, where people are in sin, and they believe, you know what? You know, shall we sin that grace may abound? What's the answer to that one, though? God forbid, no. But there's a group, well, God's grace is so big, and this group scares me because I believe that the grace of God that brings salvation, does it teach us something? It teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly living, we ought to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Doesn't saving grace teach that? I believe it does, but there's a group over here that might say, well, I believe in Jesus, but because Jesus' grace is so big, I can do whatever I want. So if I see a bad magazine, I can pick it up and look at it because it doesn't matter. God's got to forgive me. Now, I would say probably in the service this morning, There's not anybody here that would really give testimony to being in this camp, would you? Okay, you got to pretty much admit, there are things in God's Word that are wrong to do. Okay? And God is not wanting you to do them just to prove that His grace is so big. Okay? Now, I've kind of put a wall here, and I've kind of put a wall here, saying that those are groups kind of way on the extremes to your left, again, and on our rights or whatever. But between the two walls, then we have people that I would say are church members, okay, that could go here. Again, over on this side, we'll just go over here. I spoke on these. These are the Pharisees. I call them Pharisees. Some people would call them legalists, but again, you know, I want to make sure we get the right words. Jesus called them Pharisees. Again, these are people that would, if you ask them, do you have to do all kinds of things to be saved and stay saved? They would say no, but there's a long list. Remember I put a long list up on there of a lot of things that, you know, a long list of things that as Christians we have to do. Okay? We have to do these things as Christians or not do these things as Christians. Okay? And so they're saved by grace, no doubt about that. But then there is a whole lot of the whole list of things we've got to do. All right. Now I'm going to stop right there, but I'm going to come over here, and I've got this the lawful group on the other side. Okay, and don't get them mixed up with the licensed group over here. These are people saying I have liberty in Christ, not to sin, not to do things that are wrong and the Bible instructs that are wrong. But I have liberty in Christ to do whatever I want. If the Bible doesn't mention it, I can do it, and I'll do it where I want, when I want, with whoever I want. Now, we're not talking about sin. We're just talking about other areas, okay? And they don't hold back at all on things that they say, yeah, if the Bible doesn't mention it. And by the way, you've heard people in this crowd, because they usually start their statements like this. Well, the Bible doesn't say you can't. You ever heard somebody say that? Well, the Bible doesn't say you can't. And then they'll put something on the end of it, okay? And then sometimes you got to agree with them. The Bible doesn't say you can't do whatever thing you just gave us. However, doesn't mean you can do it. Doesn't mean you should do it. And again, I went with 1 Corinthians 6:12 as the group here. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not what? Expedient. Okay? So that you understand, okay? These would be people, no, they're not into sin. They're not over here. Okay? But you know what? I got liberty in Christ. I can do what I want, when I want, where I want, with whoever I want. Okay? I'm not worried what it does. Okay? Now, again, the group in the middle, we're going to speak about them today. I'm calling this the Liberty Group, however you want to call it. Okay? And I don't know if you're saying it's a mix between the two, however. But this group literally is probably associated with this group closer than it is with this group. Because the group in the middle has standards. I said it almost 10 times last week when I preached on it. What makes you a Pharisee is not that you have standards. Okay? That's not what makes you a Pharisee. What makes you a Pharisee is your what? Your attitude about the standards. That's what makes you a Pharisee. Because there could be people right here in the middle living in Christian liberty that have just as many standards as the person here has. But this person isn't a Pharisee. This person would be. So you can't look at somebody and say, oh, I can tell by the way you're dressed, you're a Pharisee. No, you can't tell. Right? Standards are not the differentiating thing here. It's the attitude about them that I said. Is that already the second, third time I've said it today after I said it 10 times last week? But we understand that. Okay? So if you look at somebody that has standards in their lives, and I hope you do, I hope you're not over here saying, I can do what I want. Okay? I hope you're really not here saying what? I can really do what I want. I hope you've got some standards in your life. And there are certain things that you might say, you know what? Others may, I choose not. Okay? Does that make sense? But your attitude is not, well, if I do it, everybody else has got to do it. And if you don't follow my lead or if you don't do it, you're absolutely wrong. In fact, we're really worried about whether you're a Christian or not. How can you possibly save because you wear, what's the thing I'm going to say here? What's the one thing I've been picking on for weeks? Open-toed shoes. You must not be a Christian because you wear open-toed shoes. Folks, I've met Christians who don't wear open-toed shoes. They will not. Okay? Now, if they say, well, I just can't believe you're a Christian because you got flip-flops on. It's your attitude. But you may have somebody here who says what? I don't wear open-toed shoes. I'm not worried in judging you if you do. I choose not to. Is everybody following me through on that? So it's not the standard, it's your attitude about it. Now, today is Romans 14. It's really important that we understand Romans 14. I hope when I'm done, you understand it, because I hope I understand it and I teach it well. If I don't, I'm sorry. I worked hard at it. But again, to getting it right, the right standards with the right attitude, that's where we are here. Good standards, good attitude. We're not judging other people. Okay? It's between us and God is where it comes down to. I thank Tim for reading it. However, we'll probably go down through it. And I've got, again, an expositional sermon trying to bring out some points so that we understand Romans chapter 14. Okay, that's what today's sermon is. It's all about Romans 14 and learning this chapter, because Paul is addressing, if you are a Christian that wants to live biblically, you need to pay attention to what's in this chapter. Okay, you need to pay attention. And if you say, well, there's things in here you've never seen before, again, they need to direct our lives. Let me just go ahead and start giving you things, okay? And so I'm calling this true Christian liberty, okay? It's not the idea that I can do what I want. That's these people, okay? These people. But no, it's not I can do whatever I want, whenever I want to do it, with whom I ever do it, wherever I am. Has everybody got that? There are some standards here that we need to work on, okay, and make sure that we have. However, again, in Romans 14, I'm going to give you 3 points. Here's the first one, okay, but there's points underneath. Number one, stop foolish judgment, okay? Stop it, all right? And I'm going to say this a bunch of times, and when we get to the conclusion, I'll reiterate it again. Stop it, okay? Now, here's some facts we need to know, okay? We'll go to verse 2 first of all. But folks, we have to recognize our Christian brother. I know when I try to keep things short in outline form, it doesn't always make sense, so you got to pay attention to me, okay? And hopefully it will, okay? Notice verse 2 what it says. Verse 2 says, for one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Here's what I'm getting you to recognize. Folks, you need to recognize that there are differences in Christian faith. There are differences. Do you see what we pointed out in verse 2? One says yes, and one says what? No. Here's my question. Who's right? Who's right? One said yes, one said no. Who's right? Okay? Now, if you are a Pharisee, you will say what? I'm right. You're wrong. You see that? If you live more in Christian liberty and you understand Christian liberty, you can say, this is what I do. But you know what? Others who may differ with me aren't wrong. They're not wrong. Okay? We're not talking about sinful things. Are you with me on that? We're not talking about sin. We're talking about areas. Do we use the words gray areas, doubtful areas? Okay? We're talking about those things or whatever. Okay? And the answer is some do, some don't. I wrote some things down. They're not all going to go up there. We are to understand that there are people around us who see things differently than we do. You need to recognize that fact. Okay? You need to recognize that. Not everyone is going to agree with your standards or mine, and that's okay. Did you hear that? That's okay. Not everybody's going to agree with the standards that we have, and that's okay. All right. And the words that we use here sometimes, and this goes to a lot of areas in life. Hopefully it goes to marriages when two people get married. Different, but not wrong. Is everybody making sense of that? You know, two people get married. Well, my family does it this way. Well, my family did it this way. Different, but not wrong. Now we need to find a way to blend our two differences to make it work. Okay. My dad's not here today, so we'll talk about him. He wrote a poem. If you've never read the poem, and we put it out there one time at a Valentine's banquet. What's it called? Bananas Sliced and Diced? Okay? Bananas Sliced and Diced. Because her family, that's my mother, they cut bananas one way when you put sugar and milk on them. His family cut them another way, So they had to figure out, what are we going to do? Okay, and that's what the poem's about. Bananas. What are we going to do with bananas in this family? Okay, you know. Different. Not wrong. Do you recognize that there are people that have standards that are different than you have? It's okay. Did you hear that? If you're over here, you're saying what right now? No, it's not. You got to do it my way. No, it's okay. Because it says right there, one believes it's okay to eat, and one of us says, I don't think we should. But it's okay. Then let's go to number two then, please, okay? I'm going to use the word receive. Go back to verse one. Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. Okay. Now, I'm going to follow, and I'm taking this from John MacArthur, just letting you know that pretty much the points on this one come from John MacArthur. He said it right, okay? Because if you look at verse 2 gives you the definition of who Paul says is weak. Now, I don't want to offend anybody. I'm going to go with John MacArthur on some of the things that he said, because I think he hit it on the head. But again, you can see here that some people would like to shun those who are weak in the faith, okay? Why? Well, the main reason is that they have all kinds of hang-ups. They don't do this, they don't do that. And you can see in verse 2, his definition, Paul's definition of the person who's weak, is the person who doesn't do something. That's his definition of who's weak. Oh, they don't do that. And again, John MacArthur said that basically the problem with the weaker brother is this, he's never come to terms with liberty that he has in Christ. He's so afraid of getting dirty that he places standards upon his life that are more restrictive than those placed there by the Bible. Now watch the switch here. As a result, he comes to believe that he's the stronger brother and that everyone around him should live up to his standards. So basically, from what I got was, somebody does something, somebody doesn't do something, who is the weaker brother? They are. Did you get that? They are. Because if they were strong like me, they would realize that eating this meat is not really a problem. But the other person says, well, if they were strong in their faith like I was, they'd realize you can eat this meat. Okay? And so as I was reading John MacArthur and listening to him, it was kind of like both sides say the other side's the weak brother. Okay? Which all of a sudden, you know, becomes a problem. All right? And we look down on them or whatever. Okay? Again, this causes problems for those who have to live with this kind of person. Paul's thought here is that we are not to turn the weaker brother away from our fellowship. However, we are not to allow his self-imposed standards to dominate our lives. Now, you can go to Galatians chapter 2 and verse 5, where Paul ran into some people that thought that they should have some standards that Paul didn't have. And Paul says, we didn't give place to them, no, not for a moment. They said, hey, Paul, you need to do this. And Paul's like, no, I don't. Okay? And they were kind of like, if you'd be spiritual like us, you'd do this. And Paul says, no, I'm not going to do it. Okay? We can also take you back to Mark chapter 7. Read that last week. Remember the Pharisees washed their hands all the time? And he came to Jesus and they said, hey, your disciples don't wash their hands like we do. Did Jesus look at his disciples and go, hey guys, start washing your hands? Did he do that? What'd he say? You guys got man-made rules here. And you follow your man-made rules and throw the doctrines of God out. Basically the idea is, we're not going to start washing our hands. They're man-made rules. So you can see here, okay, and some people say, well, do I have to start doing what they do? They do what I do? Not necessarily. Okay, you don't have to. And so again, but we need to, and I go back to this, receive one another. Oh, here's somebody that doesn't do exactly what I do. It's okay. Come on in, brother. Come on in. Okay? Come on in. I go back to this. When I was young, okay, and my dad had just gotten saved, so it makes me a teenager though, but boy, that's young, isn't it? Okay? But when I was a teenager, I remember going to a church. I mean, no expense spared. A beautiful brass plate about this big on the front door of the church. I mean, just engraved beautifully. I mean, it was polished. It was so nice. And it said, ladies that are wearing pants are not fit to go into the house of God. Wow. First I'd ever seen anything like that. Never ran anything like that. I was like, wow, what's mom wearing? I guess you can go in. Got it right today. Right on the front door of the church. I was like, wow. When we got out of there, I said to my dad, what is this? And he goes, I don't know. We need to do some research. You know? Do you see what it says in verse 1? It's the word receive. Receive. I know I got some jokes they all gave last week. I like jokes. I like laughing. What does everybody else? Remember in Mark chapter 5, a guy came to Jesus. He didn't even have pants on. What did the Bible say he had on? Nothing. Did Jesus turn him away? No. See? Receive. Now, I understand there's sin. I understand sin. But we're talking, well, they do it a little differently than we do. It's okay. Receive that person. I hope you understand there, verse 1. Again, I'll read it again. Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. I think we need to make sure we understand that. The next word I'm going to give you, verses 3 and 4, let's respect. Verse 3, let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him who eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or fallen, yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. And again, as I look here, we need to respect people. That they've got a little bit different standards than we do. We compare notes. I compare notes with people. My son-in-law pastor's not even a half an hour away from here. Okay? There is stuff in their church they've never heard. And you've lived with it for years. And you would think everybody knows what we know. They've never heard it. They don't know you're not supposed to do that. They don't know that that's supposed to be something the Calvary Bible Church doesn't do. They didn't know that. And so they do it. So we're supposed to go down there and teach them that, you know what? You guys got it all wrong. And you're really not spiritual. Should we do that? No. Okay? 30 minutes from here. It's almost like a different culture over there in that Bald Eagle Valley. I'm sorry. Okay? By the way, I did go to Bald Eagle there one day and was walking around the school, and I did notice their colors aren't blue and gold. They are camouflage. Am I right about that? A lot of camouflage in that place, okay? But we respect people, okay? Respect people. Now, again, I'm going to give you this. We need to respect their principles, okay? We need to respect their principles. Notice what it says here. I may never agree with him, or I may never see it his way, but I'm not to despise him. Do you see the word despise? Okay? We need to make sure we don't judge people. Okay, and despise people. It's in verse 3. We don't despise people. Despise means to put into a lower opinion. Oh, you wear open-toed shoes. I was thinking you were a pretty good person. Until I saw the flip-flops. Now I've just kind of lowered my standards, meaning my opinions of you. No, we're not going to do that. Notice it says they're not to judge him. Again, I put down here, judge means to make a declaration concerning their spiritual condition. Oh, you do that? You're not very spiritual. In fact, are you sure you're saved if you do that? Really? Are you getting that? I'm going to share a story that Curtis told to me, and which he said opened his eyes and started making him really think. But again, he went when we were in Massachusetts. He went on a youth retreat to a Christian camp, and while he was there, he went over to the gym and started shooting hoops, and some guys came over and started shooting hoops with him. And of course, if you know Curtis, really likes basketball, pretty good at it, is he not? Likes basketball, and boy, got a good friendship going with these guys, because they were playing ball, he's playing ball, and they played ball for a couple hours while registration all was going on. He made some super friends, and so he's kind of hanging with them. Now, folks, I'm just going to tell you the story. Can't change details. And then all of a sudden, as they were leaving the gym, the one guy was singing a song, and Curtis was like, well, what's that? He said, well, don't you know this song? He goes, no, I never heard that song. He goes, well, that's Casting Crowns. And Curtis was like, oh, I don't know that song. And Curtis said, I thought these were good guys. They're listening to Casting Crowns. Well, at least they're good basketball players, but really not good guys. But he hung with them for the weekend. Guess what he found out, folks? He said they were walking closer to God than I was. as we did different things at devotion times and quiet times, these guys were closer to God than I was. And he said, it opened my eyes that people may not do everything I do, but it doesn't mean they're far away from God. And he said, right then and there, I realized, you know what, there are people in this world that I need to stop saying, well, they're probably not very spiritual because they do this, because they could walk closer to God than I do. Now, there may be some of you saying here, what's Casting Crowns? Anybody asking that question? It's a contemporary Christian group. At one time, were they like the number one contemporary Christian group? Would they have been number one at one time? They're big. They're probably still pretty big, are they not? They are. But the guy listened to Casting Crowns, and yet he said, when I started talking to the guys and we started reading the Bible and sharing thoughts, these guys had a relationship with God that I didn't have. And here, just a few moments before, what was I doing? Making a judgment. Declaring something about their spiritual condition and putting them below me. Okay? Now, I'm not here endorsing, please, Casting Crowns and doing, okay, just let it go, okay? I'm just sharing the stories that came up. Because there are times that it may be something different. Oh, I thought this guy was pretty good until I found out that he, and then you state something, and then in your mind you make a judgment, which is you declare a spiritual failing in his life. And he can't be as close to God as I am because they do this. Folks, that's what this crowd does. Are you following me through? Not here. Okay, we're not talking about sin. Okay, we're talking about things that the Bible leaves out. So again, respect his principles. So I wrote down here, I may not agree with him, but I'm still respect him and give him room to live his life as the Lord leaves. The next thing I have here is respect his position. Notice verse 4. Okay, verse 4. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? You know what these people's position are? They're God's servants. They're God's children. Who do they answer to? Okay? I don't know about you, but you know what? You're not going to win any points if all you do is walk around this church correcting everybody else's children. You're not going to win any points. Now, again, if I see two of them punching each other in the nose, okay. But you know what? There may be children that do something in this church that I'd rather they not do, or I'd rather my children never did, but lo and behold, my children probably did it anyway. You know, and if all I'm doing is, hey, you stop that, and, hey, you stop that. You know, somewhere along the line, mom or dad's going to come to you and say, excuse me a minute, pastor, just, I'll take care of them. I'll take care of them. Do you see that? And I think from time to time, God's up in heaven maybe looking at me saying, hey, they're my children. They're my servants. Let me deal with them. Instead of me getting in there and putting my mitts all over them. Do you notice their position? They're somebody else's servant. If you're not their boss, if you're not their master, you don't have a say-so here. Now, we're not talking about sin. Because if somebody's in gross sin or into sin, do we not have that? I mean, go to Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. If a brother be overtaken in a fault, restore such a one. Okay? We understand that. Okay? But again, none of us is his God. None of us is his master. Okay? Again, we don't lead our brother around. He doesn't answer to us. Okay? All right? And I wrote this down. If his life is not an issue to God, why should it be one to you? I mean, if somebody comes to you and says, well, God's never dealt with me about this. Okay. Then don't make it such a big thing, okay? I just put this down. This brother, he's not accountable to you. Okay? To God. So, again, I started, and the first point is stop foolish judgments. Everybody get that? Okay? Let's stop it. If somebody doesn't do something, I know I'm reiterating myself, but you're going to find out Paul does in a minute too. If somebody doesn't do exactly what you do, and it's not sin, just relax. Relax a little bit. Okay? It's okay. Since we're going to stop something, we may as well then start or seek faithful judgment. Okay, there is something in this chapter we do need to judge. We do need to judge. Again, look at verse 5. In the matter of convictions, notice verse 5. One man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. Now watch this, folks. Here's where faithful judgment comes in. You're not judging other people. You are judging you. You are judging you. Let everyone, it says at the end of verse 5, be fully persuaded in his own mind. I'm calling it convictions here, okay? But you need to work on your own life, what you believe, where you stand, what you're going to do, what you're not going to do, and you need to be real about it. You need to be real about it. I'm going to put it this way, all right? There are some things in this world I'm not comfortable doing. And it's not sin. It's just things. I'm not comfortable doing them. And if you were to make me do them, the whole time in my mind I would be saying what? I'm not comfortable doing this. I got to judge myself. And if I say, you know what, I'm not comfortable doing this, then I need to set up a standard in my life and say, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do this. Now, you may come to me and say, Pastor, it's okay to do it. My answer might be what? For you. I don't feel comfortable doing it. Okay? And again, you can see what it says right there. I mean, one man esteemeth one day, and another man esteemeth another day. Okay? I don't know about you. I'll give you something here. You ready for something? Last 3 days, I've been really busy. Okay? Some of you seen me. I think I fried like almost 400 pounds of potatoes the last 3 days. About 400 pounds of potatoes I fried. Okay? When I walked in here, some of you said I still smell like a French fry. It's probably true. I haven't done much but fry French fries for the last 3 days. I looked at my grass this morning. It needs cutting. There's leaves in it. And I like to keep a good grass. It's looking a little bad. Can I tell you something I'm not comfortable doing? I am not comfortable cutting it on a Sunday. I am not comfortable. Now, could I maybe cut it on a Sunday? Okay, my ox is in the ditch. Oh, we know all the terms, don't we? And by the way, I'm not coming back into town till Thursday, so the next 3 days is not happening. So I may as well go cut it today. But you know what? As soon as I start that mower up this afternoon, what is going to run through my mind? I'm not comfortable doing this. I don't think I should do it on a Sunday. One man cuts his grass on Sunday. One man doesn't cut his grass on Sunday. Let everybody be what? Fully persuaded in what? His own mind. Now I got a question. See, I don't even want to do handwriting. How many of you think I should do it? How many think I shouldn't do it? You understand. Okay? If you're not comfortable in the matter of convictions, then the answer is no. And it doesn't matter if I come up to you and say, oh, it's okay. But then you start to do it and you're like, no, it's not. Don't do it. I made myself clear, have I not? Okay? Again, in the matter of consecration, watch this one. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord. Did you get that? He that regards the day, he regards it unto the Lord. And he regards not the day, he regards it not to the Lord. He that eateth to the Lord, and he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not, and he gives God thanks. Wow! Same activity, one person does it, one person doesn't do it, and the reason why they don't do it, or they do it, is to the Lord. Now that's amazing, folks, that the same activity for one person says no, the other person says yes, and they're both doing it to God's glory. And you might say, well, that sounds like a contradiction. Well, call it what you want. Does that make sense? I tell people this. I can come up with illustrations. You say, well, what are you talking about? I can come up with illustrations. I have met people that believe Christians shouldn't be involved in sports. I've met them. Okay? I'm not going to give you commentary about them. Because if I did, I'd be a what? A Pharisee. Okay? They don't get involved in sports. How many know me? Where do I stand on sports? I'm into it, folks. I like sports. Okay? Played a lot of basketball in my life. I love basketball. Some of you know that. The hard part about getting old is what? Not as fast, not as high, and it hurts now to play. I still like it, but I still love playing basketball. I do when I can. Love it. But I tell people this. There was a long time ago, I gave sports to the Lord. Well, God, if you want me to be involved in sports, and I sure do love sports, I like all sports, I'm going to give it to the Lord. And through my life, I have done a lot of different ministries with sports. There's some men here. I don't know if it's true or not, but I think the impact I have in your life would have been different if I would have just been your teacher and not your teacher and your coach. Am I right about that? So I tell people, I played sports and I gave it to the Lord. But there's other people that say, what? I don't think Christians should play the sports, and you know what? I'm giving that to the Lord. Okay. They're both giving what they do with sports to the Lord and saying, I'm giving God glory by what I'm doing, or I'm giving God glory by what I'm not doing. Now, you might be on the one side and say, Pastor, I don't know how you can give sports to the Lord. It's just not something you can do. But the other side is saying, how can you not play sports? What's so wrong with that? But two sides. One looks at it. Again, we go with things like this, okay? I told you, one of the things that hit was, again, that movie, God Is Not Dead. Okay? How many people went and saw that and said, wow, that was really good. Man, I learned things, and it strengthened my faith. And it was under the Lord. But somebody might say, what? I didn't go, and I did that for the Lord also. Two different sides. Do you see that? So you can do one thing and somebody can say, well, that was great. God really blessed me. And another person said, well, God's really blessing me because I don't do it. One esteems one day, the other esteems different days. It's okay. And you give it to the Lord. And again, it goes back to this. Again, if you're going to do it to God's glory, then you better be fully persuaded in your mind that you can do it. Okay? So in the matter of consecration, again, can we give it to the Lord? I hope you can. And whatever you do, give it to God. The last one, in the matter of consequence. This one's a little longer. Notice the verses here. 7, 8, and 9. For none of us live to himself, no man dies to himself. Whether we live on the Lord. Whether we die on the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we're the Lord's. For this end, Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. Okay? Now watch this. Here's what you need to know. When you're faced with a decision about what to do or what not to do, it has consequences. Are you aware of that? Okay? The first consequence would be in the earthly realm. What you do may hurt. And this word hurt is bigger than you want to make it to be. You could do an activity and it could cause another Christian to fall into sin. Do you really want to do that activity if it's going to cause a Christian to fall in sin? Oh, I'm not talking about, Pastor, I just wish you wouldn't do that. That's not what we're talking about. Okay? If somebody comes up to me and says, Pastor, you know you did something and you offended me. What sin did you fall into? Well, I didn't fall into sin. Then you weren't offended. You didn't like that I did it, but you weren't offended. To cause, to offend, to stumble, to be destroyed. These are words used in 1 Corinthians and Romans. Destroyed, fall into sin, stumble, be offended. Bigger words than just, I didn't like that you did that, Pastor. Okay, so I did this activity. What sin were you falling into? What sin did it cause you to do? Well, it didn't cause me one. Then you weren't offended. But if there is something I do and it will cause a Christian to stumble, fall into sin, and destroy their Christian faith, then what? I better not do it. I better reconsider not doing it. Does that make sense to everybody? Okay? I don't know. And again, somewhere along the line, soon I'm going to have to give it. But we'll go to the area of alcohol, okay? Because I'm going to tell you, and I've said this before, I'm not sure alcohol is really a gray area in the Bible, because the Bible says a lot about it. Okay? Now, I know people say, well, where does it say in the Bible, thou shalt not drink alcohol? It's not there. Okay? I haven't found that verse yet. I Googled it. Didn't come up. Okay? But the Bible says a lot about alcohol. Okay? Says a lot. But I would just tell you this, okay? My dad, he's not here so we can talk about it. He'll tell you. My dad's an alcoholic. He's an alcoholic. What's the dumbest thing in the world for me to do? Somebody tell me what's really dumb for me to do. To drink in front of my dad and give him some and I'd be like, dumb. Okay? Why would I do it? Next thing mom goes, well, your dad's drunk. Why? Well, because you were drinking there at the meal he had. And he saw you doing it. He just thought of all the good times he had drinking. And I don't remember the good times. Okay? And he fell into it. I'm telling you, for me, that's where we are. Now you say, well, is there other? Yeah, and there may be other things. That if you do it, you could cause somebody to go back. And maybe some area of their life that they gave up, but you pushed them back into it. Don't do it. Does that make sense to somebody? Okay. The other thing that I have here is not only is it the earthly realm, but folks, you're going to stand in front of God. And each one of us is going to give account of our lives to God. Am I right about that? And somewhere along life, God's going to look at you and go, you know, when you did that, you didn't feel good about it. You know, I put something in your head or in your heart that, you know, I shouldn't be doing this. I was trying to tell you not to do it, and you went ahead and did it. I'm sorry, but you're going to be judged for it. You're going to be judged for it. I was trying to tell you to not do it. Now, this is where I tell people honesty is really good here. You need to be absolutely honest. When God puts something in you that maybe He doesn't want you to do something, you better listen. Don't just fluff it off. Well, I've always done it this way. Well, maybe God's telling you He wants you to change your ways now. You pay attention. And you don't do it. Because you're going to stand before God and God goes, hey, didn't I tell you? Did you not feel that thing in your heart when you started that mower up on Sunday? And that's what He'd have to say to me. Maybe not you. Did you not feel something? Yeah, why'd you do it? Okay? You know your neighbor was just about ready to come to your church. You've been inviting him to church. You've been telling him about Jesus. And all of a sudden you start up the mower and he said, well, I guess Sunday doesn't mean anything to him. Why should I go to church? I may as well cut grass on Sunday. So instead of going to church, I'll just cut grass. Who knows what happens? Just watch out. We're all going to stand before God, okay? And again, we need to make sure that if God has asked us to do or not do something, that we're going to do it. I keep moving. Number three. I said there was three things, so we must be getting close, right? Say amen, right? Yeah, okay. And it leads me into my next point. Get set for future judgment. Stop foolish judgment. Seek faithful judgment, okay, which is you. Judge yourself. Should I be doing this? Don't look at other people. Should they be doing it? Should I be doing it or not? And get set, okay? And again, I'm going to go back and reiterate some things. Look at verse 10 and just the first part. But why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? Okay? Why are you judging your brother? Again, I'm going to put down here, judgment is restricted here. You're not to be judging your brother. Stop it. Okay? And again, we're supposed to receive them. We're supposed to respect them. And here, as you look at this verse, in verse 10, you judge your brother or you set your brother at naught. Well, you know what? You are open-toed shoes. I'll have nothing to do with you. You're gone. You know, set your brother at naught. Over that? Really? You know, somebody walk up to me and say, well, Pastor, do you play Monopoly? Yeah. You roll dice? I have nothing to do with you. Because I don't roll dice. Okay? As far as I know, okay, now I've never even made paper money because I'm not really good at Monopoly. I've never made a dollar playing Monopoly. Anybody here made money playing Monopoly? I not only lose the paper stuff, I've never made a dollar in my life. We play it, have fun, okay? You know, and I love it when your kids are growing up. Oh, let's play Monopoly, Dad. They know they can beat me, okay? But I've played games where we rolled dice. But you know what? We can't have anything to do with Pastor anymore. He played a game and they rolled dice. You're going to set me at naught for that? You're going to judge me? Well, that pastor, oh, he preaches a good sermon, but he can't be close to God because he rolls dice. Okay? By the way, can I say this? You know the regular game of dice that they play and bet at the casino tables? I don't even know how to play that one. Who knows how to play that one? Oh, you're smart, aren't you? I don't even know how it's played. Does anybody know? I don't know. So you know I'm not doing it. But I do know that in Parcheesi, I want double sixes. Okay? I know in Parcheesi, give me double sixes. Okay? Anybody know how to play Parcheesi? Oh, yeah. See? Again, you're following me through. You're going to judge me and set me at naught? No, you can't do that. Okay? Over these areas. It's not sin. Okay? I just wrote down some things. We do not have the right to play God in the lives of our brethren and pass judgment on them. If a brother is living in open sin and violating clear biblical standards, then we have an obligation to speak to him about his life. However, if the power of God is on their life, then maybe we are more concerned about the thing than God is. Therefore, let us learn to keep our self-righteous judgments to ourselves. Boy, I must have been in a hot moment on that one. Right? Come on. That's not what we're worried about. But folks, there is a future judgment. Okay? And it's going to be rendered up there. Notice verse 10b. For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. I wrote down every single one of us will stand before God and give account of our decisions and our lives. It may just be that we will find out that everything was not as we thought it was. It will be a day of perfect reckoning and perfect accounting. Therefore, may the Lord help us to learn to avoid judging the brethren and concern ourselves with living the right kind of life before the Lord. Does that make sense? This is where judgment starts, right here at home. Okay? And I know I'm going to stand before God someday. And I want to make sure that when I stand before God, that I got it right. Don't know that I'm going to. I'm trying. But I want to make sure I've got it right. My 3 points are done. But here's what Paul does. Verses 13 to 23, I'm going to call it this if I can. It's a reiteration of the principles in verses 1 to 12. I'm not the only one that repeats himself. Paul wrote 12 verses and said, hey, did you get it? Just in case you didn't, I'm not shutting the chapter down yet. Okay? Can I do something for you here? Okay? We'll go ahead and do this. We're going to read what your Bible says, and I took some liberty to do some paraphrasing. Can I do that? Took some liberty to do some paraphrasing. Here we go. Okay? Paraphrase. Verse 13. Notice it says in our Bibles, let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I put this up here. Stop condemning each other. Instead, let's decide to live in such a way that you will not cause another believer to stumble into sin. This is my paraphrase. If I didn't get it exactly right, it's okay. It's not a translation. Okay? Stop condemning each other. Okay? But we got to make sure we don't want to make anybody stumble into sin. Again, verse 14 says, I know and am persuaded that by the Lord Jesus, that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. I put down here, I know, in fact, I'm convinced by the teaching of the Lord Jesus, that no food in and of itself is sinful to eat. But if someone believes it's wrong, then for that person it's what? Wrong. How many of you know who Greg Silverman is? Yeah. Messianic Jew. What's he not eat? Shellfish and pork. Because he's ministering the Jews. And to him, it's just not what he wants to do. But you know what? If you want to eat a hoagie in front of him, knock yourself out. Okay? I didn't even know he had a... I didn't know. Okay? But if you believe it's wrong, then it's wrong for you. Okay? And we need to know that. Let's go to verse 15. Need to keep moving here. Verse 15. But if thy brother be grieved with thy food or with thy meat, now walkest thou not in charity, or you're not walking there in love, okay, for whom Christ died. I paraphrase. If you know another believer is hurt by what you eat, you're not living in love if you eat it. Don't let your eating destroy someone for whom Christ died. My paraphrase. I think it's pretty close, is it not? Okay? If you know it, okay, don't destroy somebody with it. Verse 16 says, okay, let not then your good be evil spoken of. I put down here, don't eat, so you won't be condemned if it's for doing something you know is good. And this is Christian maturity, besides just being Christian what? Liberty. I can do this. It's okay. But who I'm with, the situation I'm in, I don't feel I can do it. So I'll just not do it. I'll be honest with you. If I have Greg Silverman over my house, we're not having pork and sauerkraut. We're not going to do it. Okay? I know that now. I know that he doesn't want to eat food like that, so I'm not going to put it out there. You know? I just think it would be wrong for me to do that at this point in time. Verse 17, please. Okay? For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. I put this down. For the Christian life is not a matter of what we eat or drink. It's a life of goodness, peace, that gives joy in the Holy Spirit. Folks, there's bigger things than that. Okay? There's bigger things than that. Okay? Than just eat or drink. And again, it's like the Pharisees. They strained the gnat and swallowed a camel. Okay? You know, hey, we don't eat that, but boy, we sure do hate each other. Be better if you loved one another and ate a camel from time to time. Okay? Be okay to do that. Verse 18, please. Verse 18, my paraphrase. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. I put down here, if you serve Christ with this attitude, you will do two things. You'll please God and others will approve of your life. Okay? There's some things that are lawful, not expedient. So, I'm going to set some standards up. I'm not going to do them. Verse 19, moving on here. Again, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things which one may edify another. I put down there, so then, let us use our energies to get along with one another in peace and try to build each other up. Boy, that's what the church is all about. You know what? Let's go to church today and let's find all the people that aren't doing the way we do it and let's get them mad at us. Okay? That's what church is all about. Okay? You know what? Let's go find somebody that's had a rough week. Let's help them out. Let's build them up. Let's not fight about what'd you eat this week? What'd you wear this week? What'd you do this week? Okay? Just so you understand that. Verse 20. Notice it says, for meat destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it's evil for that man who eateth with offense. Again, I put down here, I think I translated it right. Don't tear apart the work of God over a piece of food. Okay, now watch. Now, it's food in this chapter. What is it really in the Christian life that people tear into people about? Open-toed shoes? Sports? Rolling dice? You went to a movie? Is that what tears us up? Okay. Well, I don't like the music you listen to. And we're willing to just tear into the body of Christ over that? Isn't there something bigger? Remember, all foods are acceptable, but it's wrong to eat if it makes another person fall into sin. Now, there's a difference between, well, I don't like it, and falling into sin. I think we know that. I got to keep moving. Time's getting short here. I got to cut my grass real soon. Okay? Verse 21. It's good neither to eat, again, you can see there, it's good neither to eat flesh, nor drink wine, nor anything by which thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. I just put, it's better not to eat meat, or drink wine, or do anything, if it might cause another brother to stumble into sin. Am I right about that? Okay? I'm going to tell you this, you get around my dad, don't drink around him. Don't do it. Okay? Maybe it's something in your life. Okay, we're just going to stay away from that. All right? So we understand that. Verse 22, please. Verse 22. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in the thing which he alloweth. I put it this way. Work on your own relationship with God. Don't impose it on others. It is between you and God. Happy are those who don't feel guilty for doing something they believe is right. Now we turned it around here a little bit. Folks, if you're doing something and it doesn't twinge you at all for doing it, and somebody comes up and says, you know, I don't believe you ought to be doing this, and you know in your heart, honestly, it's not there that you should stop doing it. It's okay, folks. I'm not talking about sin. I'm talking about doubtful things. Just gray area things, okay? It's up to you. I give you this one. And again, because I'm going to give you this, okay? So you understand this. Again, being involved in sports, liking sports, when we were in Massachusetts, okay, my son played town sports, and he did quite well at them, okay? He did real well at them. But all of a sudden, they'd come to tournament season. And they'd say, you know, tournaments are Friday night, Saturday, and Sunday. What's that going to do for us? And we go, well, I'm going to tell you, there are certain hours on Sunday morning and an hour on Sunday night that Curtis is off the radar for playing ball. Outside of that, he can play. Now, you might look at me and say, what? You let your boy play ball on Sunday? You can't do that. Can I tell you something? I'm sitting out there on 2 o'clock on a Sunday afternoon watching him play ball, and there's nothing inside of me that says anything's wrong about this. Okay? Now, he went to Sunday school. Is Tony here? I don't know. Tony's here somewhere. I can tell you, God bless Tony. Because I am telling you, when I put the amen on the sermon, okay, by the time I looked up from the prayer, Tony and Curtis weren't in the sanctuary. Because Tony agreed most times to take Curtis to the ball game. Because it started at 12. And it was 5-0. It's 5-0 now. And when I ended the sermon, they jumped in Tony's Jeep. And I mean, as we were singing the last song, you could look at the windows. Vroom, there they're going. Okay, and they're getting Curtis to the ball game. Okay? And that didn't bother me at all. That didn't bother me at all. Okay? Now, if I'd have said to Curtis, you know what, Curtis, let's just skip church this morning and go play the ball game. Something inside of me would have said what? Don't like it. Okay? But I usually told him, you know what, if the tournament's at 12 or a little after, we'll get Curtis to the field. Now, you may look at me right now and you're saying what? Pastor, I don't like that you did that. I'm sorry. But what sin are you jumping into because I did that? I didn't cause you to stumble. No? I tell some people, what are you doing Sunday afternoon?
Sleep. I just sat in the lawn chair and watched him play ball. That's pretty good. Some of you are going to watch the Steelers playing today. Okay. They're going to win today. I don't know when they're playing. Patriots already won this week. Okay. I'm sorry. I feel nothing inside of me that's wrong. I feel okay about that. Okay. How can you, Pastor? All right. Are you following? What's that? They're not going to lose. That's good. There we go. Do you understand that? If you're doing something, it's okay. But you got to be honest. Because someday you're going to stand before God, and what's he going to say? I was twinging you. Why didn't you pay attention? Why didn't you pay attention? So I think we understand that. Boy, we're almost at the end of the chapter, are we not? Verse 23. And he that doubteth, notice what it says about him. He that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Again, I tried to do this one right. Tough verse, good verse. However, if you have doubts about whether or not you should eat something, you're sinning if you go ahead and do it. For you are not following your convictions. If you do something you are not convinced is right, you are sinning. Did everybody hear that? Now, I've gone both ways on this one. No conviction? God's not saying anything? Okay. We're not talking about sin. That's those people over there. We're talking about doubtful things or whatever. Okay? But if you feel something and you can't do it by faith, then I'm telling you, stop doing it. Now, what that makes, and this is tough to hear, it makes a congregation that has some different opinions about things. But remember, verse 1, when you come here, we receive one another and not to doubtful what? Disputations. We're not going to yell at each other about it. We're not going to get upset about it, okay? Because watch this, we are here. We are not where? Here, which is a Pharisee. You either do it my way or you're wrong. Does everybody hear that? You know what? It's okay that we don't do everything alike. It's okay, right? But we're not over here just stomping through life doing whatever we want. We don't care who we hurt and who we cause to fall into sin. Does everybody see the differences? Okay? So if you're here, come on over, please. If you're here, what? Come on over. Okay? You're saying, well, Pastor, where do you think you are? Well, can I tell you something? Sometimes I know I'm here. sometimes I'm here. Anybody with me on that? And sometimes I'm what? I'm kind of here. And this chapter is kind of handling that. Gilboa, are you just stomping through life not caring who you're hurting? Stop it. Gilboa, are you over here judging people over things you shouldn't be judging them over? What am I going to say? Stop it. Okay? And let's live here. It's not the standards that we have. It's our attitudes about them. Boy, you thought you're never going to see this word. Conclusion. Philippians 2:12. I think that's kind of what this means. Are you ready? This is not a sacramentalist verse. Work out your salvation. Is everybody with me? It's not, okay, believe in Jesus, now work at it so they stay safe. This verse means your salvation, your Christian life, how you live, you need to work on it with God, with fear and trembling. God, I did this. Am I wrong for doing it? Am I right for doing it? Work it out with God. Okay? You know, God, I didn't wash my hands like the Pharisees said I should. Did I do all right? And if God comes back and says, you're okay. Or maybe he comes back and says, hey, you know, you ought to wash your hands a few more times. Okay. I'll do it. Work out your own salvation with fear. Does everybody understand that? We're saved by faith. But you know what? There's more to it than that. Not for salvation. That's over there. You know, for testimony's sake and how you live your life. Okay? Again, can anybody finish this statement? If I'm going to judge a life, let it be my own life. Everybody get that? Let it be me. All right? I think you got that. Okay? Long statement. If I'm going to be a blessing to my brothers in Christ, let me not seek to do it by setting myself up as their judge and jury, but rather let me love them, pray for them, and live my life in such a manner that I'm a blessing to them and not a hindrance. Is that statement right? I didn't make it up. I forgot to put quotes around it and thought who said it. It might have been John MacArthur. I'm not sure. Okay? I want to be a blessing to people. You know what? How long will you keep coming to this church if all we do is beat you up over your open-toed shoes? How you comb your hair? What you're wearing? How long are you going to keep coming? You know? Now, I might preach hard on things up here. And you say, well, Pastor, you sure stepped on my toes today because I'm living over here. Well, yeah, I'm sorry. No, I'm not. Okay? But I think we understand that. Let's keep going in here, okay? Have you been guilty of imposing your standards on other believers? Okay? Have you been guilty of setting up your own little kangaroo court from which you rendered judgment on everyone else's life? Now watch this. We've all done it. I do it. You do it? Be honest. We all have done it. You don't do it the way I do it. Okay? I don't do it the way you do it. It's okay. Okay? I think I've said it enough. You all get the point. And we're not talking about sinful things. Okay? Well, Pastor, does it really matter what I wear? Yeah, it does. Yeah, it does. Okay? There are certain things you could wear and you shouldn't be wearing them. Am I right about that? There are certain things you ought to be wearing, you ought not be wearing them. Okay? And sometimes I think, no, I should save that for another sermon, but sometimes that applies more to ladies than men. Am I right about that? Yeah, even the ladies are shaking their head on that one. Watch. Watch. But I'm talking about other things or whatever, okay? I'm talking about other things, okay? Then I have a tie on today. Chose to wear one. Maybe you don't. It's okay. It's okay. In fact, about right now, I'm a little warm right now. Not having this tie on would be a little bit more comfortable. My back's wet. I'm sweating. Okay? It's all right. Watch this. Let's put an end to it. Let's just stop judging one another. Let's stop condemning people. Let's start being serious about living our lives to be a blessing to people and build people up and not tear people down. Did we get it? If you didn't get it, I can go back to slide one and go all over again. But I got to go cut my grass, right? Last thing I'm going to do today is what? Cut grass. I'm not cutting grass today. Okay? I'm not really worried about it at all. Father, these are good people in front of me. They understand these things. But Lord, once we understand, we've got it into our heads. Now we need to make sure it finds its way to our hearts. Because Lord, once it finds its way into our hearts, then we'll live it. Lord, we said a lot. I can't repeat it all right now. But Lord, I pray that you will blow away the chaff of the things that I said. Help them not to find seed in our hearts. But Lord, the good word of God, and we read a lot of Bible verses today. Lord, a lot of principles were given. May those good things find seed in our heart and grow into fruit. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.